executive leadership, management, team leads. Do you fully understand the psychological impact you can have, both good and bad, on your team's ability to deliver, or even your organization?
And I think that a lot of times for leaders specifically, we don't always recognize, embrace, accept how much power's there. And
yes.
So if we don't learn how to better use it and in a healthy way, in a productive way versus a negative way,
sure.
We can keep pretending it's not an element or actually start understanding how it affects and start really working with it. And so
in this episode of Unlocking Agile, we talked to Tricia Broderick at Agile 2022 in Nashville about the role of power dynamics on an organization and how, if you don't pay attention, it can make or break a team, program, or company.
Unlocking Agile is brought to you by Scrum, Inc. The world of work is changing. We pioneered that change. From Fortune 100 companies to startups, nonprofit organizations, and government agencies, Scrum, Inc.'s team of consultants, trainers, and coaches partner with you to create self-sustaining Agile organizations. Training that empowers, transformations that work. Contact us at scruminc.com.
We'd like to welcome everybody to another episode of Unlocking Agile, brought to you by Scrum, Inc. I'm your host, Bobby Woods, and we are here still at the Agile conference in Nashville, and we are at the Agile Education booth for Agile 2022, and we're privileged to have with us today Tricia Broderick, leadership advisor and founder, author, new book coming out.
Nope.
Thank you so much for being here with us, Tricia.
It still sounds weird to hear that. Author, co-author. I'm still trying to like wrap
Exciting.
My brain around that.
Exciting.
Well, thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. And I know you're here speaking on the topic of power dynamics, which is absolutely fascinating. We see that in so many different places and the impact that it has on culture and people and psychological safety and so forth. Just tell us a little bit about your session and some of the key points that we're getting out of it.
Yeah, so I actually try to pick my sessions based on kind of a couple things. One, what do I wish I had known?
Sure, sure.
What is something that I maybe have enough privilege or ability to say that somebody else can't admit to right now? Or C is just, what keeps tripping me up too? And this is an area for me as a leader that still gets me, still like blindsides me, still shocks me when I'm a leader in some former capacity and power's coming into play and I'm like, no, it's not a problem. And I'm like, oh, yes, it is. And it still has an impact on people. And I think that a lot of times for leaders specifically, we don't always recognize, embrace, accept how much power's there. And
yes.
So if we don't learn how to better use it and in a healthy way, in a productive way versus a negative way,
sure.
We can keep pretending it's not an element or actually start understanding how it affects and start really working with it. And so this session kind of derived from, man, power just keeps hitting me in different ways and in different capacities as a leader. What do I have to start really thinking about to make sure that I'm using more what Diana and I call power with?
Sure, Diana Larson, co-author of the book.
For going forward in a way that helps us be the effective leaders we're trying to be.
Yes. So what might be some examples of negative power dynamics that you've seen?
So one of the examples that we get we use and we highlighted, and I actually felt it, is that first time, you know, like when you're freshly promoted into a leadership role, senior leadership role, and you walk in the room and everybody goes quiet, and it's just annoying, it's like frustrating, it's embarrassing, it's like,
sure.
Wait, I'm just one of you, right? I just want to be part of the team. I don't, and it, for me, it always made me really uncomfortable because it made me feel like everybody thought I was mean or waiting for something bad to happen. But the reality was, is there's formal power there, right?
That's
and
right.
At the end of the day, it exists. And so by me just showing up to a retro where I was like, no, I just want to observe, did not necessarily, I'm just part of the team. Like, don't be nervous.
That's
like,
right.
That's like telling someone to calm down when they need to calm down. It doesn't work.
Sure.
Like, don't be nervous. Like, I'm just an executive. Yes, of course they're nervous and in different ways. And so what I talk about is then going, okay, if that formal power's there, how do we minimize it? How do we make it less less damaging in a way that is unspoken? And so instead of just showing up, actually explicitly asking if I can attend, right? Would it be okay if I attended because this is my purpose? And I know that a lot of people will go, well, I shouldn't have to do that. They should know that I have good intent. And it's like, yes, but you're not actually talking about really your intent. That's you're right. Making it comfortable to them to understand that you bring a different dynamic and that you're not afraid to talk about that. And that that's the reality and a part of the situation, because you know, just saying I have an open door policy does not mean it actually happens. And so by asking, by making that request, by wanting that invitation or that permission, you're doing what we call power with, where you're supporting and you're recognizing that you bring a different element to that collaboration in that room, and is it healthy for them or not? And you're respecting their choice in that. And I think there were a lot of times when I just showed up that I was like, why did you all go quiet? Well, they all went quiet because they didn't know why I just showed up. Not because of panic, not because of fear necessarily, yeah. Even if they respect you, right? Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of like, does she need something? Is something going on? It's like,
right.
Oh, I didn't ask. And by not asking, I am using my power over that I can show up wherever, whenever, however I want to. And by using the power over, then I can't be surprised if I get the silence when they walk in the room.
Right. You know, that's an interesting way of looking at those dynamics. I actually had that situation take place early in my career when I was doing a training at a large retail organization, and the CIO wanted to be in the very first team training that happened. And of course, we do hands-on activities and things like that, and we show them how to implement different frameworks. And in one of the activities, he's standing at the table with everybody else, and they're trying to think through what they want to include in a sprint. And he says, "Hey, everybody, I think we should do this, and we should put these in." And what do you think the entire table said?
Of course.
Of course. Of course we'll do that. And he kept doing it sprint after sprint, and they kept failing over and over again.
And for that individual, he's probably going, well, if they didn't agree,
they should have spoken up.
Right? And the sad part is you do have a couple of people that might speak up, right?
Yeah.
But that only reinforces to that leader that, see, anybody can speak up, versus going, not everybody's going to, because not only in that situation does that leader have formal power, but they might have informal or influential power. Like, if people really respect you,
sure,
they're going to defer to you too.
Yeah.
Even if they disagree, they're like, nope, I really respect this person's knowledge, so if they say it, it must be true, right? Accurate.
And this was fascinating because this guy was big physically and very outspoken, very dynamic personality in a very good way. You know, he's a very influential
person. I can relate.
Person.
I understand. I'm big. This extroverted person has suffered during COVID.
And this, what wound up happening with this CIO, first of all, he knew in the training, and he told me afterwards, he's like, I completely messed everybody up. And then afterwards, there was an offsite planning that they did where there was this big room with like a horseshoe of tables or chairs set up and a space right in the middle for him. And when he walked in, just like you said, everybody got quiet.
Yep.
And he was going to sit down, and he put his bag down and didn't even sit down and went through this long speech about how he did not want his voice to be the only one in the room and that he expected people to challenge him. He had to completely backtrack on the power dynamics.
Yeah. Now, and that's the interesting part is so many of us as leaders, right, we do have good intent. I know that there's the joke about the evil manager, the evil executive,
right.
But I have never been in a meeting where we sat around a table and went, how can we mess with everybody today?
Sure.
Like, that's never actually happened.
No?
No, I know. But at the same note, even with those good intents, doesn't mean the impact's there. And so what starts to happen when you start to experience that, or somebody pushes back and you do that,
mm-hmm.
what a lot of leaders will do is then go to the other extreme. Well, then fine, I'll just not participate. Or I will just,
right.
I will give the lecture of like, here's my open door and this is what I expect of you. But that's just another version of the power over is that like, people almost feel like you're aiming a bus at them. And so instead, learning techniques to really do power with and going, look, I am going to be the big person walking into the room. I am an extrovert. I am loud. I am, right?
Sure.
All these things in different ways. And so how do I then think of ways to facilitate to get that challenging? Mm. So it's not just me saying I want you to challenge. It's like it's similar to the calm down, right? Have courage. Well, okay, now I have courage because right. You said it, right? Like, no. And so what are ways that I as the leader can actually promote that challenge, mm-hmm. right? Like, what facilitation technique might I do that actually gets people to challenge? And now, because I'm giving that technique and I'm instructing that, it's clear that that's what we're looking for and able to support that. So I've watched a lot of leaders that even when they start to understand the power dynamics are there, they then shift all the way to the other extreme of then just completely disconnecting. And that only results in more power because now it's hidden, right? It's unidentified. Yeah. Or people feel like you're aiming a bus at them.
Fear.
Because like, why suddenly do they not care? Do they, what's going on? And,
right.
and now there's panic in there. So it is more kind of learning as a leader of going, okay, these power dynamics exist. How do I minimize them? How do I create environments that create the challenging, that make people feel a sense of autonomy and purpose, but also understand my role and my contribution and what I'm trying to do in a healthy way that's adding to the team, not necessarily taking away.
Yeah.
And there's no one answer to that for every situation.
Sure,
so
sure.
In my session tomorrow, I'm gonna go through a couple different countermeasures, but there's tons of them out there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll give a couple different versions of some countermeasures that are pretty effective for me. And one of them is like, use a facilitation technique that actually promotes the very thing you're asking. Like, I want people to be able to challenge. So what technique can we do that's gonna encourage that challenging from everybody in different ways, in ways that are safe for people, right? Where an introvert can think through their ideas first before they have to just vocalize them out.
Okay.
Where they can like kind of test them out with smaller groups before they have to shout them out in front of 30 people with a bunch of execs in the room, and just creating safety, honestly.
So would you say that concept of power dynamics and how to work it and overcome it is very very leadership specific? I mean, the impact obviously goes organizationally, and especially with the teams they're impacting. But these are leadership techniques, it sounds like.
Yes, but I also would say anybody can be a leader, right?
That's true.
And
yeah.
And the reality is it's, you know, we tend to think of power dynamics only from the formal, the hierarchical, but there is, you know, dominant power dynamics. Mm-hmm. What makes up the majority in the room? As a female in the room, in a technical room often, people will, it's harder for me to get a word in, right? Mm. Or different things that might happen. There's different underrepresented factors that have an issue if they're not part of the dominant majority. Those power dynamics are involved in a team. Influential, you might not have a title, but you could have been with the company for 20 years. You're the go-to person about this, and people will defer to you. I remember I had a developer who wanted very much to be on a new platform, a new technology, and kept being told no because he was too important on the team. And so he asked me to kind of watch for a second to see what was happening in terms of the dynamics. And he'd be the first to speak, the second to speak, the fourth to speak, the fifth to speak, right? So I gave him a challenge, and I said, three people have to talk before you can. And I'm standing behind him, standing behind others, but where he can visually see me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the facilitator, you know, the leader of the group, you know, asks some question, and everybody turns to look at this individual. Everybody turns and looks at this individual. And I'm standing in the back holding up a fist, like zero. Like, and he's like, he's starting to sweat. He's starting to realize.
I
know. And it was uncomfortable. Like, people just kept staring because they were accustomed to him speaking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because he had that informal, influential power, it was expected, right? And it
sure.
took a long time before three people spoke, and then he went, oh. So I was creating some of this issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, I would call it leadership, but anybody on the team can be a leader in different ways. And
yeah.
and so why I'm giving this session is a little bit more on that leader coming in and understanding the impact they might have on a team,
mm-hmm.
but any of the techniques could be valuable for anybody within the team.
Yeah, I mean, as you're talking about it, I could see a real strong application for our team facilitators, right?
Yes.
Some of our scrum masters and otherwise, for being able to watch for those team dynamics and those power dynamics,
yes.
and what it's doing to the team, and then using some of those techniques to be able to help the team work through so that there's a more balance. Because you're never going to be able to completely, and you don't want to squash the people who have some strong power dynamics potentially, because you need some of those as well. But there's got to be, across a team, some sort of a balance that takes place, right?
Yeah. I think the balance one is the one that I'm personally most interested in continuing to learn, especially when it comes to that dominant power. I have publicly spoken about this, but I'm one of those people that falsely kind of went, well, we're agile. Once you're at the seat at the table, we're all collaborative. No. It's not necessarily true. You can be at the table, but you may not actually feel like you belong enough to collaborate. And so for
that's important to belong.
Yeah, and for facilitators to start to understand how do they balance the voices so that the dominant and the underrepresented voices and power can be heard in the room is gonna be a huge difference maker when it comes to results, when it comes to value.
So this also potentially about helping to give people their power?
I'm having a reaction about that wording, but I'm trying to think about why I have, I think everybody has power. I don't think everybody is able to use their power.
Okay.
And so you're not giving somebody their power, you're making space for shared power.
Sure. So I hate to use the word empowerment.
Yeah, I know. power, right? You're creating a safe space for all voices to be heard.
Yeah.
So that collaboration can really happen, and what is kind of intended by everybody to begin with, but we don't always acknowledge the things that can influence or impact positively or negatively.
Right.
So I don't think you're giving somebody power. I think people always have power. It's whether or not their power is being seen, heard, followed, right, in healthy ways.
So providing them the platform to exercise.
Yeah.
Right, and at a in a way that is comfortable for them.
Yes, and it's a way for them, not for you.
Right.
And that's something that, again, I have a hard time with, and why this is one of those topics that still gets me all these years with leadership, because for me, I don't care what your title is. I'm going to say my two cents.
And really? I know.
Shocking. Everybody pick up your jaws right now. But the reality is like, but yet there are still times I haven't said what I really wanted to say. And when I think about why, there's some dynamics of power in there. Like maybe it's a feeling of responsibility that, you know, I'm the leader. I can't say what I really, you know, out of respect for the people involved, or I'm looking at a bigger picture versus that one, I'm choosing my battle, right? Whether they're right reasons or wrong reasons, there are times I haven't said everything I've wanted to say, should have said, could have said, right? And so there's a dynamic that, that normalizing this a little bit. And I think we let those elephants sit because we'll talk about them in the hallways, but we won't really actually address them and talk about them. And so this is kind of I'm going to start owning that I still struggle with power in different ways, or people's perception of my power. Like how many times people think I have way more power than I actually do. I'm like, oh, you think I control that? Aw, that's cute, right? But it's hard for me to understand that somebody might not say something to somebody, because I would in most cases. So I have to really stop and think about, okay, when did I not? Because there's truth in that. And so that I can create that relatability, because I'm like, just speak up, right? And I'm like,
of course.
No, that's a horrible thing to say to somebody. And so how can I be a better leader to support others in dealing with it too?
Very nice. So if you've got people applying this the right way, let's say that we've got it from a team level, program level, power with people, you've got leadership very concerned and very, you know, working continuously to apply some of the techniques that you're going to be bringing out that are part of the book. What do they get? What's the outcome? How does that help to unlock their agility in the company?
So, you know, this is the interesting thing, is a lot of people will talk, you know, you hear about psychological safety a lot of cases, and we hear about collaboration, and yet so few people actually experience either of them.
And so true.
And I'm like, no, that makes me sad. We confuse cooperation with collaboration. And like being willing to help somebody is different than building something together with somebody, and really having that high trust, high energy that comes from thinking and being creative together. And so when you create a space where everybody feels a sense of power, feels a sense of ownership, feels a sense of contribution and belonging, this is where your best creativity comes out. This is where your best work comes out, because you're not worried about your insecurities. You're not worried about what someone might think of you. You're getting to just be your full self, bringing your diverse experiences, bringing your creativity to the plate. And this is where we're going to get our best ideas. This is where we're going to unlock disruptions and value and being able to challenge things. I actually had a former direct report, and he recently passed away. But one of the things that he taught, like, drove me bonkers as a direct report, because at times he would always, like, question everything, right? And I said to him once, I was like, just once, can I give an idea? And you go, great idea, just once. And his response back to me is, not a chance, I respect you too much.
Very nice.
And I think one of those things is what we gain is by creating an environment where challenging isn't seen as being difficult. Where challenging isn't seen as being combative or not on board. Where it's seen as looking at all the possible ways, looking at all the different things to come up with the best collaborative wisdom of the crowd thing that we can do. And whenever I see that happen, whenever titles go to the side, wherever people feel like they really belong, it's amazing what they produce. And that's I want to see more of that.
Wouldn't we all like to see more of that? That would just be unbelievable. So if people want to hear more about Power Dynamics and they want to maybe ask some questions about your book or engage you in some sort of activity, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, so tomorrow I speak first thing in the morning.
Very excited about that.
I should know the time that I speak at, but to be fair, I'm slightly jet-lagged. I just flew from Europe. But I think I'm in the first session block tomorrow. So I'm speaking here at Agile 2022, and I just need to call out the Agile Alliance. I'm so happy we're back in different ways, and I'm so glad that they were able
to
put this on. It is. It really is. And I want
to
be safe for people, and I understand what we had to do. But as somebody who's been attending this conference every year since 2007, like, my heart was hurting the last 2 years. So I speak tomorrow with it. Our book is available currently on pre-order from Barrett Kohler's, the publisher, but it's on Amazon. It's on a lot of the different Walmart, Target sites, I believe, as well.
Right, co-authored
with Diana Larson, called Lead Without Blame.
Yes.
And so that's on pre-order. It's not available till September yet.
Gotta wait.
I know. But super excited about that. It's been an honor, extreme honor. It almost feels slightly surreal that I got this opportunity to collaborate and do this. And in some ways, actually, kind of just speaking to what we were talking about, like, a lot of people, it would have been very easy for me to defer to Diana, right?
Sure.
Clearly.
Sure.
And from a informal, influential power dynamic, and yet she and I give her credit for this, right? Did power with me to where we truly co-wrote this book and truly, like, collaborate. There wasn't a Diana section, my section, anything along those lines. And you know, so in some ways, what we're writing about, we're practicing. Not perfectly, but we're practicing as well. So that's available now. And you can also reach me on my website in a lot of different ways. I do have a Twitter account, but I gotta be honest, unless you tag me on Twitter, I'm not looking at it very often.
That's understandable. What's the website?
My website, the short version of it is, for my company name is Ignite Insight and Innovation, but the short URL is igniteii.com.
Great.
But I am on LinkedIn quite a bit, and I've been doing lives once a month, too.
Very nice. We'll look for those as well. Well, I tell you what, it's been great having you here, and thank you for sharing the concepts on power dynamics, and have fun with your session tomorrow. Break a leg. We're looking forward to that.
I'm excited. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. And I'd like to thank everybody for listening in to the latest episode of Unlocking Agile. It's being brought to you by Scrum, Inc. here at Agile 2022, and we'll look forward to having you back on our next episode.